Always a joy to sing worship to the Lord. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. And so I'm glad you are here today. Well, let's get going.
Is it on?
Oh, yeah, I'm not on. Thank you.
There we go. Is that too loud?
No, I guess it's... It's just right. Okay. Thank you, Jay. I forgot. Well, I'm so glad we can restart. There's a restart button, so I'm starting the restart button now. While life can seem unbearable at times, physical pain, sickness, sadness, difficult decisions, financial hardships, loneliness, hopelessness, the death of a loved one, or even shattered dreams threaten to engulf us. We become fearful and perplexed, plagued by doubts and feelings of discouragement. We may even find it difficult to ask for help. Richard Fuller, a 19th century minister, told of an old seaman who said, "In fierce storms, we must put the ship in a certain position and keep her there." Said Fuller, "This, Christian, is what you must do," taking a cue from what the old seaman said. "You must put your soul in one position and keep it there. You must stay upon the Lord, and come what may, winds, waves, crosses, thunder, lightning, frowning rocks, roaring breakers, no matter what, you must hold fast your confidence in God's faithfulness and his everlasting love in Jesus Christ." Let me ask you today, do you feel overwhelmed by your trials and troubles? Learn a lesson from that old sailor. What is that lesson? Fix your mind and your eyes on Jesus. Ask for his help and trust Jesus with your life and the trials and troubles that are weighing you down today. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me to deliver to you from his word. And please, I want you to listen carefully, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is so eager to plant the precious word of God in order to transform those who are believers here into more and more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, and to turn the lost and the unsaved from their sin of unbelief to saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So here is my message in a nutshell. Please listen carefully to it. And if you agree with it, you say amen. Jesus is more than able to handle the problems in our lives because of his great grace and goodness toward needy people like us. Amen. To say it in a few words, Jesus cares about our physical as well as spiritual needs. Amen. So now, I want everyone to say, Jesus cares.
Jesus cares.
Everyone say again, Jesus is more than able to handle my problem. Amen. You see, Jesus not only rescues sinners like you and me from our sinful lives, But Jesus also cares about our needs, our problems, our helpless and hopeless circumstances in life. Why does he care? It's all because of his abundant grace and goodness toward us. We sang one of the songs talks about the goodness of God. Well, that is the reason why God, Jesus, cares for your needs and cares for my needs. You are now about to see this biblical teaching in a fresh and forceful manner as friends and family of a man who was in a hopeless situation brought him to Jesus and asked him for his help on behalf of this man. So please, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 7, verse 31 to 37. Will you please listen carefully as I recite this passage from the updated New American Standard Bible? That's the Bible I use. And you can use any other Bible. Well, the Bible says, in Mark chapter 7, verse 31, it says, again, he went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis. They brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty. And they implored him to lay his hand on him. Jesus took him aside from the crowd by himself and put his fingers into his ears. And after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. And looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, he said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed. And he began speaking plainly. And he gave them orders not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them, the more widely they continued to proclaim it. They were utterly astonished, saying, "He has made all things well. He has done all things well. He makes even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. And may the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his word. By the way, by way of observation, I want you to know that none of the other gospel writers recorded this story. The Holy Spirit directed Mark alone to record it for us. So this story, you are not going to find it in Matthew. You are not going to find it in John. And you are not going to find it in Luke. It's only in the Gospel of Mark. Now, will you please allow me to share the simple yet significant lessons which the Holy Spirit has preserved in this story for us today? I will do so bite by bite so that we can all chew on it and that nobody gets choked up. The first lesson the Holy Spirit preserved here focuses on the place of an encounter with Jesus in verse 31. You see, all throughout the Bible, people encountered God in places of his choice. For example, Moses encountered God at a burning bush. Elijah the prophet also encountered God, the God of Israel, on Mount Carmel, where fire came down from heaven and consumed his water-soaked sacrifice. Abednego, Shadrach, and Meshach also encountered God in the fiery furnace. Amen. Daniel the prophet encountered God in the lion's den. Saul, the persecutor of the church, encountered the glorified Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his life was never the same. And one of the places I personally had an encounter with Jesus, my Lord, is Estes Park here in Colorado. And that's another story I will not tell you today. Well, perhaps, my point here today is that perhaps Jesus has chosen for you to have an encounter with him in a special way tonight here in this chapel. The question is, would you make the most of the opportunity to encounter Jesus in a special way tonight? In our story today, the Bible makes it very clear that the region of Decapolis is the place of an encounter with Jesus for a man who was in a helpless and hopeless situation. That is why the Bible says in verse 31, again he went out from the region of Tyre and came through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee within the region of Decapolis. First of all, I want you to know that Decapolis was Jesus' own choice. He decided to go there himself. Before we read of the deaf and mute man, the Bible first of all tells us that Jesus himself had made the decision to go there because he had a divine appointment with someone. Now someone asked, what exactly is Decapolis? Well, Decapolis means 10 cities. It is the territory of 10 Greek cities. So the name Decapolis is Greek. It is a reference to a Gentile district east of the Jordan River. So if you look on the map of Israel, you see the Jordan River coming down to the Sea of Galilee. On the east side, that whole side is called the Decapolis in the time of Jesus. It was largely Gentile, but there were also a significant number of Jews living there. According to verse 31, the Lord Jesus traveled 25 miles north from Tyre and passed through Sidon, which was deep in Gentile territory. Now, Tyre and Sidon belong to Phoenicia, which today is called Lebanon. And God gave me the privilege to visit and work there some years ago. From there, Jesus went east, crossed the Jordan River, and traveled south along the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee into the region or the territory of Decapolis. And there, deep in Gentile territory, so this is not happening in the territory of Israel. This story is happening outside of Israel. An encounter with Jesus is about to take place, which is recorded only in the Gospel of Mark. Now, the second lesson preserved for us in this story is about the problem in a man's life. In verse 32, notice the Bible says in verse 32, they brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty. And they implored him to lay his hand on him. Now let me ask you these two questions. If you were to become deaf today, what sound would you miss hearing the most? If you were to become unable to speak, what will you miss saying? Well, for the deaf and mute man, these questions were very real, not merely rhetorical. He was deaf. He didn't hear a sound. He could hardly talk. He had an impediment in his speech. Actually, the word translated translated with difficulty or hardly in this passage is found only in this passage in the Greek. There's no other place in the Bible that word is used. So what is the point? Well, the point is that the man had a real and rare problem. It was a problem he could not fix himself. It was a problem his family and friends were unable to find solution for. How many of you can relate to that? But here is one thing the family and friends did for this man. They brought the deaf and mute man to Jesus and entreated or beseeched, begged, or requested him to lay his hand on him. They obviously wanted Jesus to heal the man. And their begging or beseeching of Jesus shows their concern for him. Let me ask you, do you have people in your life who will lift you up to Jesus because of their concern for you? If you do, you are one of the most blessed people walking on this earth. Now remember, the deaf and mute man could make no intelligible request for himself. That is why I said earlier to you that this man was in a helpless and hopeless situation. Now my question is, why? Now listen to this question very carefully. Why did the people bring the deaf and mute man to Jesus? Of course, they wanted Jesus to heal him. But that's not all. It's because they brought him to Jesus because they believed that Jesus cares about our physical as well as spiritual needs. It's because they believed that Jesus is more than able to handle the problems in our lives because of his grace and goodness toward needy people like you and me. It's because of their conviction that they could trust Jesus with their lives and the circumstances in their lives. If they didn't believe that Jesus could make a life-changing difference in this man's life and circumstances, they would not have brought him to him. In other words, we go to people, if we are in difficulties, we go only to people we trust who can make a difference in our situation. I'm not going to go to a bank that says it's closed and ask for money. If that bank is closed or is bankrupt, going to that bank to ask for money will be a waste of my time. I need to go to a bank that could loan me the cash. That's what we do. What about you today? What problem are you facing today? What situation in your life needs the supernatural touch of Jesus Christ? Is it your addiction to drugs, alcohol, gambling, pornography? Is it the problem of angry temper? Is it a problem of an unforgiving and bitter spirit? You are still holding grudges against those you think have wronged you? Is it a legal or a loneliness problem? Is it a financial or family problem? Is it a depression or discouragement problem? Is it a health or housing problem? Is it a lack of security or thoughts of suicide? Is it an unemployment or emotional problem? Will you bring that problem today to Jesus? We'll have opportunity to bring whatever problem you have to Jesus. Now, to show that Jesus cares about the needs in our lives and that he's more than able to handle the problems we have in our lives because of his great grace and goodness toward us, the Bible now reveals to us the perfect solution of Jesus in verses 33 to 35. I tell you, friends, Jesus cares about our physical as well as spiritual needs. But you ask, how does he demonstrate his care about the needs in my life? My friend, I tell you how. Please listen carefully now. Jesus demonstrates his care about the needs in your life and my life by providing his perfect solution, not a patched up solution. Everyone says Jesus has a perfect solution for my problem. Jesus has a perfect solution for my problem. Well, this is exactly what we are now about to see in this story, which is found only in the Gospel of Mark. Now, I want you to note carefully how the Lord Jesus proceeded to provide his perfect solution for the deaf and mute man. First of all, notice his personal touch. The Bible says in verse 33, and he took him aside from the crowd by himself and... Who has a phone? Is that somebody's phone ringing?
I came in the hallway.
And put his ears, his fingers into his ears. And after spitting, he touched his tongue with the saliva. The first part of this verse literally says, and taking away him from the crowd privately. You see, in order to deal more personally with the mute man, Jesus took him aside from the crowd. It is as if Jesus is saying to him, you matter to me, and I will deal personally with you in resolving your physical problems. Folks, may I say to you, you sitting down there, you matter to Jesus. When you sincerely come to Jesus, he will give you personal attention. He will deal privately with you. He will not treat you just as a number in the crowd. He will have personal contact with you. Why? Because each person who comes to Jesus will be personally cared for by Jesus. That is what happened to the deaf man, the mute man, on that memorable day in the region of Decapolis. He couldn't believe his eyes as Jesus took him aside and began to handle his problems personally, privately. He never dreamt that Jesus would ever take him one-on-one and deal with his problem. Talk about being on cloud nine. This man was right up there. Now, I want you to watch something very interesting and insightful. When the people brought the deaf and mute man to Jesus, they begged him or implored him to do what? Lay his hand on him. But watch this. What did Jesus do? Jesus did something totally different. After taking the man aside from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into his ears. Now you see, because the man could not hear, Jesus used his own form of sign language to tell him he was about to heal the man's deafness. Not only that, the Bible says Jesus spat and touched his tongue with the saliva. This is also a form of sign language by which the Lord Jesus offered the man hope for a restored speech. Now, what's the point of this? Why am I pointing you to this point? That the people asked Jesus to lay his hands, but he did something different. What's the point? Well, here's the point of all this. Don't tell Jesus how to solve your problems. Give him the freedom to handle the problems in your life in his own wise way. Why? Jesus' ways are not our ways. He's the all-wise God who always knows how to handle every single problem or difficulty we face in life. I believe with all my heart that this was one of the lessons learned by the people who brought the mute man to Jesus. Today, when you have opportunity to bring your problem to Jesus, whatever it is, tell Jesus, "Jesus, I bring my problem to you." Whatever it is, you can name it. You know how best to resolve it for me out of your grace and goodness toward me. I cast this care upon you. Please take over and handle it the way you see fit for your glory and for my good. Please listen carefully. If you are an unbeliever, your greatest problem is not homelessness or unemployment. Your greatest problem is not financial or emotional. Your greatest problem is what? You are spiritually dead in your sins. Amen. You are a sinner. And if you should die today, you'll be heading to hell. You'll be separated from the loving presence and the loving person of the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. But Jesus has provided a perfect solution for your sin problem and mine. How did he provide it? He died for your sins and mine. He was buried to put away your sins and mine. But God raised him from the dead on the third day. And all you need to do today is to acknowledge that you are a sinner, accept his sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, and admit Jesus into your heart. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, may I remind you today that Jesus is still in the business of caring about our physical as well as spiritual needs. Jesus is still more than able to handle the problems you are facing right now because of his grace and his goodness toward you. Would you therefore turn your eyes today to Jesus? Will you take your struggles, your situations, your trials, your troubles to Jesus today? And will you trust Jesus today with all your cares and your concerns? And will you step up to the plate and thank Jesus in anticipation for the perfect solution he has just for your problem? Will you step up to the plate? Are there any who want to have this?